All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon, maybe a little hard. I don't plan on it being coming out mean, or it's just a truth that you don't hear preached much, and it's going to get quite personal, so hang on. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 13 through 16 together. Philippians 2, verses 13 through 16, let's read responsively. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, anoint me tonight. May I be able to please get across to your people the truth that you have for us tonight. Lord, this truth is for me. It's as much for me as it is for every other person in this room and every other person in this world that it was written to. So please help us tonight as we investigate your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is a statement you've heard this preacher make a lot. I'll make it again on purpose. These are God's words. They're not man's words. And I said this recently, and somebody emailed me and was listening to us online and tried to challenge me, and I kindly told them where to go with their email. The Bible was not written to the Jews only. It was written to every human being. Some of these intellectuals will tell you, well, that was written to the Jewish people and it's not applicable to the Gentile today. You can use a principle from it, but it really wasn't. They're idiots. Anybody that talks like that is somebody that doesn't know the Bible as well as they think they do. God tells us here in Philippians chapter 2 that something very interesting to me. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, we're going to focus on that tonight. God says, I don't want you to be a murmurer or a disputer. He said, we live in a world of murmuring and disputing. Now, you might think you know what that word murmur means. Well, it means to complain. It means a little bit more than that. God has had experience with murmurers and disputers for a long time. The Jews were a murmuring people. Now, I'm going to give you just one example throughout all of Jewish history here. One of the biggest examples of how much of a bunch of murmuring disputers the Jews were. Moses is getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've been in slavery for over 400 years. Can you imagine being in slavery for 400 years? That's almost 200 years longer than we've been a nation. That's a long time. God raises up Moses through a series of events, and he says, all right, you go and Pharaoh's going to oppose you. The Jews watch this now, 10 different plagues take place. Every one of those plagues affected the Egyptians, but never touched the Jews. The lice, the flies, the boils, the frogs, the murrain on the cattle, you name it. It all happened, the darkness and the water turning to blood and all the different plagues that took place, even the death angel that came and the firstborn was killed. All of those affected the Egyptians, but never touched the Jewish people. Then it was time for them to leave. They left. They got out of Dodge. They got to the edge of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh said, we just lost our workforce. I better go back and get them. They're standing at the brink of the Red Sea. God allows a pillar of cloud on one side to come down between them and the Egyptians, and a pillar of fire on the other side that was the light and the heat for the Jewish people. He kept the Egyptians from getting there. Then, at night, Moses raised his hand, and the Red Sea parted and dried up, and they were able to cross on dry ground. Do you know what the Jews were murmuring about?
Oh, you brought us out in the wilderness to die, God. Moses had been better if we'd been back in Egypt. We wouldn't be killed out here. Wait a minute. They just watched 10 plagues take place. Yep. They just got delivered out of 400 years of bondage. Now they're whining and complaining. Then they walk across the Red Sea that God parted. By the way, it was the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea. Amen. God didn't misspell. Can't help intellectuals can't read. God wrote it just right. It's not the Reed Sea, it's the Red Sea. You say, well, the Reed Sea was only ankle deep. That's a bigger miracle than an army drowning it with the water parted on the Red Sea. Because if you can drown in ankle deep water, you got troubles. Wait a minute. God parted that puppy. They crossed over on dry ground, 3.5 to 5 million people, got to the other side, and Moses held his hands up while the army chased him. The wheels fell off the chariots, and everybody said, uh-oh. Moses raised his hands up. God closed the sea back on top of them, and they went blub, blub, blub in the bottom of the deep blue sea. Amen. Actually, the Red Sea. Now, God killed them all. Then they're in the Arabian Peninsula there, and then they start complaining they don't have water. Moses, we should have gone back. We don't have any water. Moses goes to God, and he takes his rod and smites the rock at Horeb. And the water, enough water comes out to take care of 3.5 to 5 million people every day for 40 years, and their cattle, and their camels, everything that they needed. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. Then they started complaining. Well, God sent manna for them to eat every day. I was flipping through a stupid channel the other night, and they were saying that, well, we think that when the Jews were in the wilderness, when the Bible says that they ate manna, they were eating some kind of lichen that God created in the desert there. They were not eating lichen. They were eating manna.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Then they got tired of eating manna and said, that's all we got, manna and water. Where's our meat? We could have had leeks and watermelons in Egypt. So God sends them quail till the Bible says it was coming out their ears. I love it. Amen. Murmuring again. Then they saw God provide the quail. They saw God lead them with a cloud of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. They saw God grow their clothes with them, and their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. Now, that is a miracle. I always think it's funny. If you were a baby when you crossed in, I wonder if your baby booties went with you, you know? Lord have mercy, I can see Brother Joe in 40-year-old baby clothes, amen? That is eye pollution, amen? Man, that's one big onesie, let me tell you. Woo! Anyway... Yeah, you can see these guys walking around in baby clothes. Wait a minute. God preserved their clothing. God preserved everything that they had for 40 years while they traveled. They got to the brink of the promised land. They sent in spies, and they said, we can't go in. The giants are big. We can't handle this. And God made them wander for 40 years. Whining and complaining again about the giants, and God took care of their every need for 40 years. They murmured and they complained. They murmured and they complained. Today it seems the world, and even in our churches, are filled with people that murmur and dispute. God commands us to do His work His way, and He commands us, I want you to notice verse 14. Do how many things? Oh, amen. You sound like Methodist now. Do how many things?
All
right, you're up to about Presbyterian. How many things?
All.
Wow, God says do all things without murmuring and disputing. Did He say do all Christian things? Uh-uh. Did He say do only God's work without murmuring and disputing? No, He said do all things without murmuring and disputing. I don't see that as a question. I don't see Him saying, do it if you feel like it. It's as much as a command as thou shalt not kill. See, there's more commandments than 10 in the Bible, just so you know. And God commands us to do things without murmuring and disputings. That means God says we ought to be married without murmuring and disputing. Ouch. God said we ought to be brothers and sisters without murmuring and disputing with one another. Ouch. God says we ought to be parents without murmuring and disputing with our children. God says we ought to do church work without murmuring and disputing. God says we ought to do our secular jobs without murmuring and disputing. God said to do how many things?
All.
I guess that means everything we do ought to be done without murmuring and disputing. What does it mean to be a murmurer or a disputer? Well, the word murmur means an expression of discontent, an expression of opposition or a complaint done in a low tone. How many of you have ever heard of somebody having a heart murmur? You say, what is that? That's a little rumble in there that the ear can't hear very well, and somebody has to listen real close to because it's just very faintly in there. Murmuring is not a big vocal outward expression of complacency. That's called rebellion. Murmuring is under your breath or very quietly in privacy or to just a few people saying,
Brother Stoltz, I can't believe. Did you hear what Brother June said in Sunday school this morning? I just don't understand that. That's called murmuring. Murmuring is, did you see what Brother Mrs. Lopez did with their grandson? I can't believe that. Hello. That's murmuring. It's not real loud. It's not getting up in front of a group of people and saying it. It's one-on-one. It's what you say under your breath. Teenagers, it's when mom or dad tells you to do something, and this is what you say. I don't know why I got to do it. Why can't so-and-so do it? Hello. That's called murmuring. Now, wait a minute. Everybody doing all right? Malachi, you want to move up a seat so you don't get slapped as hard? Matter of fact, you better come over here on this side of the room. The word dispute. The word dispute means to argue in a heated way. It means to compete or to strive to win at any cost. Disputing is... The best illustration I can think of, and you've got to understand sports and be about my age or older, maybe a little younger than I. How many of you know the name Billy Martin? He used to be the coach for the New York Yankees. Billy Martin was known for getting ejected out of ball games because he'd stand there and scream and holler and cuss out the umpires. His most famous tirades when he went out and started kicking dirt all over the umpire's shoes and home plate. Y'all remember that? Okay, that's called being a disputer. He got mad over a call. He was so competitive that he wouldn't accept the authority and became vocal with it. I think any coach who gets thrown out of a game for arguing ought not coach. It'll solve the whole problem. I believe any team that gets caught fighting, the whole team gets expelled from the league for the rest of the season. We could take care of all this nasty stuff and a bunch of big babies out there, millionaires that can't control their temper. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. That wasn't even in my notes. That was free. So, arguing in a heated way, getting riled up in such competition that you can't control your temper. That's what being a disputer is. Always challenging a call. I just don't see this, preacher. You young people. Teacher, I did what you said and it didn't work. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not being good. Now, I remember in seventh grade, maybe sixth or seventh grade, I had a science teacher, Mr. Rexrode. He was a strange little man. Supposedly he was a Christian. He was not of our persuasion in any sense of the word. But he was telling about something he did. And it was one of those things that wasn't real intelligent. And under my breath as he said this,
and he wasn't meaning to be funny, but he said something, and it was really stupid that he did. I said, you big dummy. Well, I was sitting on the front row, and he heard me. That's called murmuring and disputing. I had to write 500 times, I will not call Mr. Rexford a dummy. I will not call Mr. Rexford a dummy. Now, to my credit, in my rebellion, I wrote all 500 of them on one side of one sheet of paper, and I wrote them microscopically big. Because what he did wasn't real smart. I didn't really mean to say it out loud. He said, Mr. Bush, did you just say? I said, I don't know, did I? I couldn't believe I said it out loud. You know, but I did. I was disputing, arguing. God does not want his people to be people who complain or oppose anything. God, and I don't mean right and wrong, but oppose, murmur. God doesn't want us to be so competitive in all we do. You know, we live in a world that's too competitive. We're trying to pass somebody up. We got to be the best. We've got to have the best, or it's not good enough. It's not worth getting so upset just to win. Did you know if you let the guy go through the stop sign before you do, even if it's your turn, that life will not stop? Did you know that it's not such a big competition? God gives us five times in the Bible we're most likely to murmur and dispute. Now, hang on to your hat. I'm going to run through these quickly. I have about 3 or 4 minutes for each one, and we're going to look quickly in the Bible. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. This one's going to... everybody say, ouch, right now. One, two, three.
Ouch.
Okay, because this one's going to hurt. I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. Amen? Matthew chapter 20, look at verse number 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, the last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? We complain about our money. We complain about our wages.
Matthew chapter 20 is a man had a bunch of work they'd done, went out early in the morning, hired a bunch of people for a penny that day to do the work for him. Got through part of the day and found out he wasn't going to get it done, went out and hired a bunch more people and said, well, you work the rest of the day for me, I'll pay you a penny. Same as he was paying the other guys that started 3 or 4 hours earlier. Got to the end of the day, needed help finishing it up, went out and got a big crew of people, paid them a penny for 1 hour of work. The other people worked all day long. And the people that were working all day long complained to the boss and said, that's not fair. We worked all day. And the Bible, I want you to notice, the Bible says that they murmured. And the boss found out about it. How many times do we complain about our money? We complain about our wages. We compare our money to what somebody else is making. Can I tell you something? It's not your business what somebody else makes. May I say this, we think we deserve more than we get, but we agreed for what we got. Well, so-and-so got a raise and I didn't. Well, my daddy taught me if I worked hard enough, I didn't have to worry about it. I'd get what I earned.
Right.
Or, if you want to complain about it, leave that job and go get a better paying one. But until then, shut up. That's what I was taught. Now, everybody doing all right? We dispute over money too much. We argue about money in our homes way too much. How's this being spent? It's amazing to me. My wife is about as frugal as they get when it comes to grocery shopping. You think I'm going to complain if she spends $5 more this week than she did 2 or 3 weeks ago? No way. What did you buy that you didn't buy before? Well, probably something to feed your ugly face.
I'm not about to argue with her over that. We don't argue over money. We work through it together. Well, you know more about money than she does. That's not always true. We work together as a team. We got a budget. We stay within budget. We work on it together. Say, what is that for? So we don't have to complain about money with each other. It's real easy. We went and changed our bank accounts this week to go to the new bank with the church and got there and the lady says, well, I need your driver's license. My wife said, I didn't bring my purse. You drove. So I got to change my part of the account. She had to go back home, get her stuff, go back to the bank. Now, wait a minute. Before we went, we agreed on how much money we were moving at first, how much we were leaving in the other account to make sure it cleared and go back and forth. I didn't have to wonder. We preset that before we ever even left to go. And we've already worked out how we're working it into the transition, which ones to use for what, and that type of thing. Now, may I say something? We don't argue about it. When I redid her kitchen, I didn't have the money to put into that thing. I didn't have $10,000 to put into it, but I got it redone. So, well, you didn't use the highest. No, I didn't use the highest of quality, but it's better than what was in there before by far. Just because you, did you know you can have first class without having to pay for it? Did you know people that pay first class tickets on, I booked a flight for my daughter. She's in a wedding this summer in Atlanta. I got a flight for like $202 round trip. She flies down on Friday morning and gets back Saturday night after the wedding. Almost said funeral. Gets back on Saturday after the wedding. Down and back 2 days. That's a pretty good price.
That is.
Did you know what a first class ticket on that same flight is? $1,800. Same airplane. Do you know what the difference in that airplane in first class and where she's riding is?
From where Brother Stoltz is to me. And instead of three seats across, there's two seats across. And you get two more bags of peanuts. That is literally about the only difference. Did you know I'm not going to pay $1,600 extra to be that much closer to the front of the airplane?
And two bags.
I can buy the peanut store for $1,600. Good night. I could eat for months on that. That's the only difference. What? Did you know that every human being on the plane has to walk through first class to get there? How private's that? I mean, let's face it. Okay, so you got off the plane 3 minutes earlier. Was that worth $1,600 to you? Not to me. Put me back with the poor folk, amen? Now, wait a minute. Same airplane. Same exact airplane. Somebody's paying $1,800 for a seat. I'm paying $200 for the seat. Say, what? Why do people do that? Because they think they have to have the best of everything. And can I tell you something? They're going to the same airport at the same time, getting there on the same vehicle. Just somebody paid more for it. So we argue over money way too much. We often have a dull murmur about money. We can't ever have enough. Well, I watch it in churches all the time. People grumble about money. Can I tell you something? Someday we'll have bulletins, but I'm not going to print the weekly offerings in there because all you do is create troubles with that. Yeah, people watch the offerings every week and watch the attendances and watch this and watch that. And they don't even know what they're watching, but they think they do. Everybody doing all right? We often murmur about how others get money or spend money in ways we would not. Did you know it's absolutely none of my business how my son spends his money? He's on his own. He pays his own bills. How he spends his money is up to him.
That's right.
He'll be 22 years old on Tuesday. He's a grown man. I don't tell him what to do with his money. He's got to pay his bills, not me. I paid him for 18, 19 years. He can pay him the rest of his life. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Wait a minute. If he asks my advice, I'll tell him. He may or may not make a decision I'd make. Doesn't matter. That's his decision. He's got to live with it. He's got to pay it, not me. I watch parents of adult children get so upset how their kids spend their money, and they're adults. None of your business. Why do you get all riled up about it? Well, they could have such much. Okay, they could have more. They'll learn that. They'll get tired of scrimping and saving and doing what they're doing without long enough. They'll figure it out. If they don't want to ask questions, don't you get all cross over it. Man, I'm having fun right now.
I got to hurry. I spent too much time on that one. So, number one, we murmur and dispute about money and are paid too much. Number two, take your Bible, turn to Joshua chapter 9. Point number two, let's say ouch in advance. One, two, three.
Ouch.
Okay, here we go. Joshua chapter 9, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes." We murmur and dispute about leadership way too much. We complain about the leadership in our life way too much. People complained, well, if Moses were alive, he wouldn't have done it this way. This is in the book of Joshua. They were complaining, well, I could do a better job. Isn't it amazing the guy that pushes the French fry button at McDonald's knows how to run the corporation better than the Kroc family does? Isn't it amazing the person that pushes the broom knows how to run the company better than the guy that owns the company? Please don't take this the wrong way. I was a button pusher on a machine lathe. I didn't program them. Do you know, I didn't know near as much about running a machine shop as the man that owned the shop did.
That's right.
I never pretended to. Because I went and did what he said, whether I understood it or not, guess what? Over a quarter century later, God used him to help us get our loan for our building. Gave us $65,000.
Yeah.
Guess it pays to do what you're supposed to do and not complain about it.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? We complain because we don't get the position we thought we should get. Oh, that's the big one. Somebody else got the position you wanted. Somebody else got the little title that you wanted. Can I tell you something? Titles are cheap. You can print your own. We murmur because we felt someone else should have been chosen as a leader, not that person. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes leaders make decisions because they know more than you know. And the fact that you're complaining about it proves you shouldn't have been there. We complain about... okay, I'm not looking at anybody. We complain about who our children marry. Well, that's not who I would have chose for them. That's why they didn't ask you. My mommy and daddy weren't supposed to pick out my spouse. Now, I wanted their approval after I found the one I wanted. I know. Nobody's ever going to be good for my little boy. Yes, they are. Nobody's ever going to be good enough for my little girl. Yes, there will be. And say you didn't make sure they're dating the right kind of person, but may I say this, you're going to have to eventually let go. And by the way, your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law are eventually going to do something you would not have done the way you would have done it.
Right.
Guess what? Your kiddo married them. They got to live with it, not you.
Yeah, right.
Why do you want to complain about it? Well, it's not the way I... Okay, you're not living their life.
Right.
They are. Everybody doing it? We complain about not being able to have the past now. Did you know little Junior, little Jeffy isn't little Jeffy anymore? He's taller than me. He's probably stronger than me. Not probably. He is. I have no doubt about that. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I'm glad we had him. But I'm glad he's a man and can take care of himself now.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad he's doing well. I'm proud of him. Wait a minute. I don't want to go back through all those years again. I don't want him after he ate too much for Thanksgiving dinner. And I pick him up and say, "Did you eat too much?" And he vomits all over me, in my hair, in my ear, all the way down into my shoes.
Yeah.
I don't miss those days at all. Not one bit. Yeah, buddy, don't shake him after they ate too much. He was crying. I said, "Come on, you didn't eat that much. Oh, my soul. I didn't know a little body could hold that much. I literally jumped in the shower with my clothes and shoes on to get hosed off before I started peeling them off. It was so bad. Now, wait a minute. I don't miss those days. I'm sorry. Now, I enjoyed him as a small child. I enjoyed him most of the time as a teenager. But I enjoy him now as a man.
Yes.
I don't want the past now. I want the present. I can't have the past. I can't have the present. And when he walked through that door yesterday morning and shocked my gourd off, because I didn't know he was coming, I told somebody yesterday, I said, it felt like God gave me a hug today and I didn't know I needed it. That was huge. So we murmur and we complain, we dispute about leadership too much. I got to hurry, number three. We murmur and dispute about what we want. Turn to Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter. Jude, verse number 16. I'm going to read it while you're turning. The Bible says, there are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Sounds like politicians. The word lust means desire. It's not always a sensual word. It just means desire. Okay? We put what we want over what God wants. That's when you pray like this. God, I want this car in this color at this time, and you better give it to me, or I'm not going to be happy. We put our wants over what God wants. We put our wants over what someone we love wants. You know, there's things I've put on hold to make sure my children or my wife got what they wanted. And I went without. Doesn't bother me. My son is going to, Jeff's going to go on a hunting trip with me this fall. And he didn't have a gun big enough to do what we need to do. And he's been out shopping and got himself a good gun. Did you know I didn't go out and buy a brand new gun? I had plenty of firepower. My Remington 700 30-06, 15 years old. It'll do the job. It shoots just as straight as a brand new one.
Yes, sir.
I needed a new scope for it. But God gave me a new scope for about half price. $289 scope I got for $140. That's not too bad. God blessed me. Now, wait a minute. I enjoy seeing him get some of these things. I was where he was 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. He's just starting. The gun I have was given to me. And my '06 was given to me by a group of people that loved me and gave me my gun. I didn't even pay for it. The scope I had on it was given to me. It's the first money I put into it other than bullets. Been great. Wait a minute. He's had to buy his. You know what? I'm rejoicing with him. I don't want a new one. You have an old 700 model, Dad. He's got a new Mossberg. Well, I'm happy for him. But can I tell you something? I like mine. It'll shoot the same bullet, same distance, same way. We're just going to find out who's better on the trigger, him or me. Yeah, buddy. You know, we think what we want is best for everyone, and we can't see past our own eyes. I'm going to make a statement. Mamas and daddies, you don't always know what's best. Husbands, you don't always know what's best, much as we think we do. I learned a long time ago, I better listen to my wife every once in a while. Even when I don't see it her way, I need to at least listen to it so that if I see it going crosswise, I was at least forewarned. Instead of putting this wall up of, I'm the man, I know what's going on. Yeah, that means you're about to really screw up. 99% of the time, you better put the brakes on because you're about to go over the cliff. We're not to live with life. We're not to live the flesh we wish we had. The life we wish we had through our kids. You know, I'm not trying to live what I wished I would have done through my son. Too many of us as middle-aged adults want to live our second childhood through our own children. We want to put them into this form that they've got to do this, and if they don't do this, we're going to be disappointed. They're not yours, they're God's. How about God's will? We fuss and feud, dispute over to get the newest car, the newest gadget, or the newest toy we want instead of being wise. There are times you just got to say, I'm not spending it right now. I got to wait because there's other things coming down the road. Don't know what it is, but it's coming. I've been through enough life to know there's another wave coming, and it's going to slap you good and hard. You better be ready for it.
Yes.
Number four, I got to hurry. We murmur against and dispute against God's man. Look at Numbers chapter 16. I am only going to mention this because it's in Scripture. We don't have problems here. But Numbers chapter 16. Look at verse number 11. For the which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Aaron was the high priest.
He was the preacher. And God was condemning these people for murmuring against God's man. Everybody look at me. I am not God. I am not always right. Please don't mistake this next statement. But I'm going to probably be right more times than you are when you're in doubt. I've helped tens of thousands of people make decisions like you're making.
I spend my whole life helping people make decisions, get through problems. Medical decisions, financial decisions, buying houses, buying cars, child rearing, marriage, you name it. There's not probably a part of life I haven't had to help make decisions. Can I tell you something? When you've helped tens of thousands of people help make those decisions, you learn something about them. And though I am not the smartest person in the room, I'll promise you that. But God's chosen me to do what I'm doing as pastor, and he gives a pastor the wisdom necessary to help his people. You may not always understand my decisions, but may I say this, trust them. Just trust it. Well, that works for you, but it's not going to work for me. Okay, you're putting your will over God's will. We sometimes think we know more than the man of God. We need to seek his advice and not think, well, I don't need to go see preacher because I already know what he's going to say. Oh, do I hear that a lot? I might surprise you. You might not know as much as you think you know. You say, I went and saw you one time and you said exactly what I thought you'd say. Good, then you were smarter than you thought you were, but at least you got it confirmed. You know, I'd rather go to a mechanic and say, I think this is wrong with my car, and find out I was right and get it fixed, then to stand there and argue with him, tell him I know what's wrong with it, and he's right and I'm wrong. Then I got to pay for what he knows is wrong, and I paid for what wasn't wrong. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Don't go against God's man. And I'm not preaching for me. I'm preaching for you. Be careful. And please don't take this the wrong way. I've spent more time in that book than anybody in this room, and maybe as much as all the people in this room combined have. I know a little bit more about it than the average person. That's what I've made my life doing for all these years. I've preached it for 37 years. I've been doing it full time for almost 28 years. Can I tell you something? I know a little bit more about it than the average person. Just don't murmur against God's man. Don't dispute. Number five, and I'll finish. I've got to hurry. Turn to Psalm 106. And all of God's people said, ouch, Psalm 106. This one is going to really hurt. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Psalm 106, look at verse number 25. Everybody look at me first. I love you. Here we go. I didn't write it. I just read it. Look at verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord.
They murmured in their tents. What were their tents? That was their what? That was their house, their home. We murmur and dispute in our homes way too much. Told you that one was going to hurt.
Did you know that it's not spiritual for brothers and sisters to argue and fuss and feud with each other? Brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters. It's the flesh, but it's not spiritual. Well, there's brothers and sisters. That's how they get along. You don't get along by fighting. My brother and I get along fine. He's in Florida. I'm here. Don't have to fight. Amen. Husbands and wives murmur and dispute with each other way too much. We murmur with each other way too much. You didn't get your way, so you're going to throw your little fit and under your breath. Or she said something you didn't like and you walk away just like your mother. She walks away, do you remember back in 1966 you did this, you know? Good night, that was 50 years ago and you still remember it. You know, parents dispute with children too much. Can I tell you a lesson that was hard for me to learn, especially raising boys? My wife was very good about helping me with this. Quit arguing with them. Quit disputing. Quit going nose to nose with them. If they're not going to listen, let them fail. Well, I don't want them to fail. Well, let them fail, and then they'll find out that you were right and they were wrong and pick up the pieces and go on. I wasn't as good at it as she was. We had some toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose jobs. But I did eventually learn it, and I think we got through it fairly well. We're not in competition with our children. We're supposed to work with them. Unless you're on the golf course, and then I got to beat him. But you know what? He's beaten me a couple times. You know what? I made him earn it. But he's beaten me. I'm not afraid to say that. I've told you that. I whooped him last time.
Yeah.
May not work this week that way, but I did whoop him once. Now, wait a minute. We're not supposed to be in competition. Do you know what? If we go golfing this week, no, I rephrase that, on his birthday, I'm taking him. When we go golfing this week, if he beats me, it's not because I let him win on his birthday. He'll earn it, but you know what? My life won't change if he wins or if I win. I'm not in competition with him. I'm not in competition with Brother Stoltz or Brother June or Brother Joe or Brother Ron or Brother Barnes or Brother Wiley or Brother Joe. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not in competition with Malachi. I'm not in competition with my son down in Florida. Well, he's in the ministry too. Did you? We don't compete. You know, you don't have to prove you're better all the time. I'm going to make a statement. I hope my children outdo me. I want my children to have more people saved than my wife and I have had saved. I want my children to be used of God, to see God use them more than we were used of God.
That's good.
I will be a successful parent if my children can outdo me. Why do I have to outdo them? My daughter and her boyfriend had more visitors on their bus today than our church had. I'm happy for them. I'm not in competition. Everybody doing all right? I'm not in competition with them.
I'm rejoicing with them. We criticize or express our opposing views way too much in our homes. Be careful as your children grow older that you quit complaining about what they're doing, especially if they're out of the house. Don't sit there and talk to each other about what your kids are doing that you don't agree with. Why don't you talk about what you do agree with? We talk about what we don't agree with our in-laws. Do you know, I don't agree with everything, probably, that my parents do sometimes. I don't know what it is. We don't talk about it. But I also don't talk about what I don't agree with my in-laws about, either. We don't sit there and talk about it. The news is mostly murmuring and disputing for 30 minutes. Everybody complaining about everything, disputing about it. Well, the president should not have made this decision. We got this group against this group. We're murmuring and disputing and listening to nothing but arguing and complaining and disputation constantly in our homes. You wonder why we have this great divide of people who are for and who are against right and wrong? Because it's become murmuring and disputing. Let's take God's command personal. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do how many things?
All.
Huh. All Christian things? No. All things. All things. Without murmuring and disputing. Every head bowed, every eye closed.